You're listening to the Space Show on 88.3 Southern FM. And as promised, we're now going to cross to the Kennedy Space Center. Our roving reporter there is Peter Aylward, who is Membership Secretary of the Space Association of Australia. Good evening, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Andrew. I'm standing here at the Kennedy Space Center, right beside the countdown clock that you may have seen when you watch a shuttle launch. We're at T-minus 6 hours and holding. The shuttle's on the pad, it's all lit up, it's just getting towards dawn now, and in a few minutes I'll begin the tanking of the external tank, which will take several hours, and everything seems to be go.
Yeah. And what's tanking, Peter?
Tanking is the filling of the liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen fuel into the big brown external tank that you see as part of the shuttle stack. So that's going okay, although I have heard there's a slight problem with a heater. They're doing using a backup heater for preconditioning lines, I believe. But we had a drama yesterday. The rotating service structure that goes around the vehicle that covers the orbiter while it's on the pad being prepared for launch, that was supposed to roll back last night. But as they were about to do that, one of the covers off the windows of the orbiter fell from the top of the orbiter down to the back of the orbiter, 60-odd feet, and damaged some tiles on one of the OMS pods, the Orbital Maneuvering System pods. So that caused a bit of drama, and they were actually able to go into the Endeavour vehicle and grab a panel with those tiles on it and hurriedly replace those. So that ended up being resolved relatively quickly, and they went ahead with the roll back last night.
So what's the mood now at the Kennedy Space Center?
It's building up. It's very early here. There's media from all over the world, but a huge amount of interest here. There's satellite trucks and outside broadcast people everywhere, and everyone's really looking forward to getting off the ground and getting back into space.
Last week here in Melbourne, we had Pamela Mulroy, an American astronaut who's been up on the shuttle twice, and she was quite upbeat and confident about this mission, which of course is called STS-114. You've spoken to a number of astronauts while you're over there, Peter. What do they feel about this mission?
Well, they feel it's obviously very important to test what they've been developing and the fixes and workarounds to try to reduce the dangers, the risk, but they're saying, look, we've done as much as we can possibly do. It gets to a point where you change so many things, you try to anticipate as many things as possible. Really, what you need to do is now go out and test that, and the only way they can do that is do a flight and return to space. Obviously, if things go very well, that will bode well. There's a second, what they're calling, test flight to follow this, and if they both are successful and have no major problems, then they'll kind of return to a more normal pattern where they won't have a secondary orbiter ready to go for a safe haven rescue mission.
Now, the astronauts, 10 hours before launch, what are they doing?
They would have just woken up. They are over at the other side of the centre, the operation and checkout building. They'll wake up, they'll have a breakfast, they'll have a weather briefing, and they will start the process of getting ready to go out to the orbiter, and that's medical checks, getting prepared in their orange flight suits, and then boarding the astronaut van, which will happen about midday our time here, and take the drive across from the other side of the centre out to the pad itself, and then being inserted in the orbiter, which is quite a lengthy process. They have to go in one at a time, climbing up into the orbiter, laying on their back. You might have seen that on TV. Quite a lengthy and awkward process. And of course, once they're in there, they have to check all the communications, all of the lines that feed their suits, etc. Then finally, once that's all satisfied, they remove all the platforms and access platforms to get them into there, and then seal up the orbiter, test the pressure, and then evacuate the pad, because that's when it starts to get to the business end, and they try to go fly.
Now, how far from the vehicle are you at your vantage point there by the countdown clock?
I'm speaking in imperial terms because I don't have the measurement. It's 3.2 miles where I'm standing right now.
Yeah, about 5 kilometres.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and what can you see from there?
I'm standing looking at Discovery right now. It's early, it's pre-dawn. There's a bit of a blue coming up in the sky. Big, powerful searchlights on the vehicle. To my right is the countdown clock, which has just resumed the count. It's now 5 minutes, 53 minutes and 31 seconds. And to my left is the vehicle assembly building, which was built for the Apollo moon rockets and has now been converted for use to assemble the shuttle. And behind me is the press site itself.
And how are you feeling yourself now?
Pretty exhausted. It's been long, busy days, but very excited to be here and to hopefully get the launch off. There is a 40% chance that the weather will prohibit a launch today, because the typical Florida summer day is you get reasonably nice mornings and then you get afternoon thunderstorms, and we had that yesterday. So, but they're hoping around about launch time that those thunderstorms will have passed through, and by the time launch comes, it'll actually be to the west of us here, and we should be in the clear.
Of course, the shuttle is quite sensitive to weather, not only just for the launch, but also in case it has to do a return to launch site.
That's right. They have to be, once again, I'm speaking Imperial again, but they have to have a 20-mile clear radius around the shuttle landing facility in case they have to do an emergency landing. And, of course, it takes a wide arc to come back. And, of course, I also have to have good weather at the other abort landing sites in other parts of the world as well. So there's a lot of factors. I mean, you could have a beautiful day here and all the things could be working beautifully on the vehicle and then come unstuck by having bad weather elsewhere.
Now, Peter, we were looking at the NASA website a few hours ago, and they mentioned that in the last few days they've had more hits on their server than ever in the past. What has the news coverage of the event been like by the American media?
It's been quite significant, quite extensive. As I've said, there's dozens and dozens of media satellite trucks here. Some of the media organisations have built new facilities here to cover this. They've actually built a new media centre and observation centre at the landing facility. Obviously, there's going to be a large interest in the landing of this particular mission. Previously, they'd had very relatively small interest in the landing because it was, I guess, seen as somewhat routine. So, obviously, the landing post-Columbia 107 is, everyone's going to be focused on that. In fact, I believe the workers here at the Kennedy Space Centre are not this year, this time, having a traditional post-launch party. They normally do that after the launch, but they're going to wait until the vehicle's back on the ground and safe before they do that.
Hmm. And how long after it launches do you expect to be able to see this vehicle, assuming there's no clouds blocking your view?
How long will we be able to see?
Yes, during ascent.
Until it disappears from our side? It's probably two to three minutes, I guess. It'll head up and then roll over and then head out, track out. You'll be able to see the exhaust trail for quite a long time. And once the SRBs are separated, which is about 2.5 minutes into the flight, then it becomes more difficult because there's no large exhaust cloud to follow. And you will see a dot disappearing, which is a three-man engine. So depending on the day, I'm not sure how long we'll be able to see that. The whole ride to orbit is around about 8.5 minutes, so it doesn't take that long.
Well, thank you, Peter. Peter Iward reporting to us live from the Kennedy Space Center, and we look forward to Peter's report next week on how that launch went. Don't forget that launch is just before 6 o'clock tomorrow morning here in Melbourne. And right now, though, we're out of time. Big thank you to Alan Walker and Simon Wynn for their fantastic help. I'm Andrew Rennie, and over now, just a few seconds late, to Purple Haze.